But we got a guy at studio who's very familiar with the city.
Yeah.
He was raised in Montreal. I believe he graduated high school in Montreal, university in Montreal. Unbelievable connection to Montreal. One of our favorites, our good buddy in studio. We're all at home, and Craig Button's in studio. And there he is.
Yeah, Keith asked me to come into the studio. I thought I'd see all you guys.
I know. Well, now you are over the screen.
No, I just get to look at you on the screen. Although this high-definition stuff, you look guys look good. I got to make a quick comment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My Patriots. I'm just telling you, my Patriots.
You're feeling it?
Shower.
Oh, yes, Jeff.
Now O's back on that train? No way.
No, stop it. Oh, yeah, he's on the train. He knows. He knows what train to jump on. Like, it's a high-speed one. Sean McVay has never been the same since Belichick embarrassed him in the Super Bowl.
Well, I think he can keep
trying.
Right.
He can keep trying quarterbacks anyway.
I think you're either you say you're Wolverines.
Oh, wow. That was a biggie.
What a weekend.
I had already bought the bottle of wine for Tessa after the Michigan State debacle when Ohio State hammered. I took a picture of it. I said it's bought and paid for. I didn't think we had a chance.
Well, they had that Spartans game, man. They should be undefeated. Like, yeah. I don't think they'd catch Georgia as the number one seed in the country, but they could have. And now you beat Ohio State. They got another game this weekend. But Michigan's they're going to the playoffs, as they should. They've had a great season.
Go blue.
But anyway, Montreal, can you speak to the significance and what this means? Jeff Gorton coming in as the senior VP of hockey operations, effectively the architect of the future team as of today, but the importance of having a bilingual GM. Does that make sense to you, Craig? You're very familiar with the city of Montreal. Do you think that's going to go over well? What do you think the reaction will be?
Well, two things I'd like to say. Like, could we potentially look at Jeff Gorton as a president of hockey operations? Could we not look at him as the Brendan Shanahan of the Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah.
How often does Brendan Shanahan speak? You know, Brendan Shanahan is the overarching figure, head, president, and, you know, he guides things behind the scenes. And Kyle Dubas is the general manager. That's what I see Jeff ultimately doing once he hires somebody to come in there. I think the beauty of having Jeff, number one, you need somebody that can manage things today and going forward to whenever that time is when they name a GM. Number two, he's well versed in the league. He knows everybody. He knows the players. He knows the teams. He knows his compatriots. And then he also knows who could be good candidates for this job. So that's the way I look at it with Jeff, and that's how I'm seeing it. With respect to the language, 90% or a little bit higher of the Montreal Canadiens fans are French speaking. You need, it's a religion in Montreal.
Right.
You know, it is. And the French-speaking fans want to hear about their team and their language. It's critically important. It's critically important that you have people that can speak to your fan base, your customers, so to speak, in their language. So, we all talk about, you know, and we do, oh, yeah, why do they need this? Why can't they just have an English-speaking? Because your fan base is French-speaking. Who's going to communicate with them? So that's the way I look at it. And I think it's critically important to have a French-speaking coach and a French-speaking manager that's going to lead. Now, Jeff Gorton, they haven't had a president of hockey operations in Montreal for a long time. I see Jeff as the first step to manage it, steady the ship, and then hire somebody to come on. And if you're going to hire somebody that hasn't been a manager, like, I mean, there's names out there. I mean, Matthew Darche, Mark Madden Jr., right, that have been in management positions. It would be nice to have somebody like Jeff Gorton to guide you along.
Right.
So, Craig, when the owner comes out and says, I think we need to freshen things up, is that a message to Gorton saying, you go ahead and blow this thing up and blow everybody out of here that you want to because we need just a whole, like, what does that mean? Like, is Carey Price in play? Like, what does that mean? That basically means to me that he wants to blow it up and completely start over again.
Yeah, you know what's interesting to me, Jeff, is it's a very different message than at the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs last July, right?
Like,
I mean,
yeah.
Short period of time. I mean, do the Montreal Canadiens have work to do? Yeah, they have some work to do. I mean, I don't know if he wants to blow it up or tear it down. I don't know what he wants to do. But what I would say is I think that a new general manager, the executive vice president of hockey operations, you know, what you want to be able to do is give them the authority to put people in place. I that's the message that I read from Jeff Molson. in that statement. And I think that it's an important message because when you're making a change, you're also moving in a direction that you didn't believe in with Mark at this point in time. That's why you made the change. Jeff Molson had one of two things to do. Get behind Mark Bergevin and make the change. And when he decided to make the change, it means we're going away from that direction. So is that big? Is it small? Is it somewhere in between? We know that they have work to do. And to your question about Carey Price, you know, the biggest challenge with Carey is his $10.5 million a year cap hit in a league where the cap hasn't gone up. So I think there'd be teams interested in Carey Price, but that's a tight squeeze.
Oh, big time. That's a big contract with a guy in his mid-30s. And
you're not sure, sorry to interrupt, Brian, and you're not even sure where Carey's at. Yeah. I mean, physically and mentally, right?
Right.
This is real life stuff that Carey's gone through. This isn't, you know, he's had the knee injury, he's got the hip going on, like he's got the physical stuff, but he's had real life problems here that he's
I'm not so focused on Carey Price noodles. I just mean if you're going to blow it up, it means kind
but
of
Bergevin's
knocking
in a lot of deals under the wire, man. Like he just gave Gallagher, he just gave Suzuki. He's coming off a year removed where Toffoli got a long-term deal. Josh Anderson got acquired and got a long-term deal.
I think they got a lot of good pieces.
They got good pieces.
They just got to figure it out.
They do have to figure it out. I mean, let's be honest. There's somewhere that cup run it happened. They deserve credit for it, but it was an illusion. Like they got hot at the right time. They took off. Good for them. Right now, they're currently they're having the worst start in franchise history. So they're somewhere in between. They're not a world beater. They're not a cup contender. I don't think they're the worst team in the league when everything's healthy. So I don't think Gorton's coming in with, like, the worst possible setup here. But he is committed to some tickets, right? Like, it's not like he's got a ton of flexibility. People are citing what he did in New York. He didn't, to my knowledge, outside of waiting for Lundqvist to run out, what else did he have to do in terms of getting rid of old, beaten-up contracts in New York? Well, like, he could settle down a little bit and wait for it to kind of breathe and sign Panarin, bring in Zibanejad, sign him, get those top two picks, bring them in. So how can you compare and contrast what he did in New York to maybe applying that in Montreal, Craig?
Well, back to Jeff's point, too, and I wasn't just saying about Carey Price. I mean, to Brian's point, you got Josh Anderson, you got Brendan Gallagher. You know, you have long-term contracts in there. I mean, Suzuki's a young guy. I mean, that's a good contract. But let's rewind and let's look at what happened in New York under Jeff Gorton's watch. Remember the letter, and I believe it was March of 2018?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We are going in another direction. So they let players go. They moved because they came to a conclusion in New York with the Rangers that they were not going to be able to compete with the big dogs in the East. And that was Tampa Bay, that was Washington, that was Pittsburgh. And so, I guess there's a difference between rebuild and reset. And I think what they were doing in New York was resetting. And I think that that's what they need to do in Montreal. There's a reset in the management office, and now there needs to be a reset with the formation of the playing roster. And I agree with Jamie. I think there's some good pieces there. I do. I don't think it's a team that is devoid of talent, is devoid of some really good players. But there's some gaps, and there's some significant gaps that Jeff Gorton and the management group that's going to come in there have to address.
Yeah, and the one thing I don't know how you feel about it, too. Like, Gorton left the Rangers on a weird – that was a weird situation, too.
Really weird. I mean, sandbagged almost.
Well, you're right. I mean, I don't know. I'm not privy to what happened behind the scenes, but there was a disconnect of what went on that. And you talk. I thought, Brian, you were talking about the letter. I wasn't talking about the reset letter. I'm talking about the press release they had.
Right.
And
the
then
Tom
the next
Wilson
day,
Panarin.
The
thing,
Tom yeah. Wilson and that organization has pivoted on the fly after Gorton and Davidson have left the organization. So a lot of different things going on. The one thing I'll say, Craig, I don't know if you know Jeff Gorton that well, but he seems to be a guy that he gets his mindset on things, and he's all in. Like, he went in on Panarin. He hasn't been shy to make a move and stand by it. And I think that's in that market, you do need confidence, and you do need to have a plan and stick to it, because like we know in this market in Vancouver and Edmonton and Calgary, like it can get noisy, and it can get noisy really quickly. So I think Gorton has to be a very strong individual and stick to his vision. I think they're ready for that, though, in Montreal.
Like I agree. I think they've looked at this team outside of that cup run last year. A lot of people in Montreal are like, I don't see where Bergevin's going here. You know, like where are we going? What are we building towards here? I'll bet you this will be received positively in Montreal, and that's what I gather based on what I've read and seen today.
I think it should be received well, and you know, you think about it, like in 2020 when the return to play came, I mean, that was a team that was 24th, and then they got in by the hair on their chinny chin chins. Mm-hmm. And then they beat Pittsburgh, and they played pretty well against the Philadelphia Flyers before losing. And there was a lot of people in Montreal go, why are you doing this? We might have a shot at the lottery and get Lafreniere. So to your point, Brian, there was a lot of hand-wringing about the direction that the Canadians were going in. And that's only a short. We're only looking now at a short 16 months ago when the fans weren't happy. What I would say, I know Jeff, and I know Jeff pretty good. He worked in Boston, pretty demanding market. Worked with the New York Rangers, pretty demanding market. Now he's going to Montreal. He steeled to go into this market, and you know, three original six markets with a passionate fan base and, you know, high expectations. I think he's more than capable of going in and handling the challenges and the pressures of the market in Montreal. And I think that his record in New York, his record of being a really mindful, thoughtful, thorough manager will serve the Montreal Canadiens really well. Not just in the short term as he's navigating and you know, keeping things at bay. You need somebody to steady the ship and steer the ship right now. But going forward, I think Jeff has an opportunity to do really good, positive things. And, you know, to Jeff Molson's term, you know, get not only have a fresh start, but get them into a direction where they can become perennial contenders.
What do you make of Toronto's ship right now, Craig? Didn't start off so hot, but they're on quite a heater. And just, we were talking at the top of the show, since we've been covering the Leafs and doing this show, it's probably the most positive stretch they've had.
Well, what I would say is, you know, it's amazing to me. They had that game on the Monday night against the Rangers where they were dominant. They were great that night. It was only because of Shesterkin that Toronto didn't win. Then they had a real kind of subpar game against San Jose on the Friday night, and then we know about the game in Pittsburgh that was terrible. The game against Carolina, they played well, and Carolina was a good team. But all of a sudden, over a span of really what I would call a subpar game and a real poor game, it was ready, blow it up. Like, I don't know. I mean, you got four really good offensive players. You got a defense. You got defense that's pretty good. I know Hall and Muzzin were struggling early on. Jack Campbell's played good. They made some changes. I mean, we all know that, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs, it becomes a proving grounds beginning on May 2nd. But I believe that this team is a good team. And the term I've continued to use from the start of the season is, for the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's about the beginning, the middle, and the beginning. The beginning of the season, new players. Let's evaluate what we have. Let's get to the middle of the season. That gives Kyle Dubas and the management group an opportunity to see what they have, to see what they need, where they can fortify their team. Just like the Tampa Bay Lightning did after they were swept four straight by the Columbus Blue Jackets. You know, they start out the year. They got into the middle of the year. Julien Brisebois trades for Goudreau, trades for Coleman, signs Bogosian. And now we're looking at the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. And then when I say the beginning, the middle, and the beginning, it's all setting it up for the playoffs in May. But, Jeff, this is an important stretch for the Leafs. Banking points, Sheldon Keefe and the coaching staff get an opportunity to test different things, see how different players can handle different situations, so they're even better prepared come playoff time. But this is a team that's, you think about the goals were going to come, they were doing everything right except putting the puck in the net. Now they pop 15 on this California trip, and they don't give up anything.
Yeah, do you see that fancy graphic there, Craig? That's Joe from the Bridge. Whenever the Leafs are at the top, he fires that thing. He loves firing that thing up. Fire it up again, Joe from the Bridge.
Come on.
Put that board up there.
Oh, yeah.
And get the standings up.
Stats are on.
Look at this thing. Look at that.
Beautiful.
Those stats are on fuzzy dice in his El Camino. They're hanging from his mirror.
He's memorized the whole thing. He knows exactly where the Leafs are compared to everyone else. It's Rain Man mathematician.
Well, the funny thing, too, about Joe from the Bridge is if the Leafs are up there in points, you'll have them at first there. If they're up there in points percentage, you'll have them first there.
Absolutely.
He knows all the combinations and permutations to put Toronto at the top.
He knows,
Greg,
and that's
do
why
with this team,
he's running the ship, man.
We were talking earlier. What do you do with it, though? It's like, I think everybody's got to be on board. If you're living in the now and you support the team, you're like, but are you thinking, how do we improve it, playoffs? Or are you just like, let's just get to the new year and let's everything continue to develop?
Well, I mean, when you have a good team, and that's why I go back to Tampa Bay. So when we're looking at Tampa Bay coming off that huge season and then the incredible disappointment, I mean, they didn't just lose. They were swept aside four straight, right? And so they start out the next year. Jeff, you know, Jamie, you know this. As players, you want to come and like show that's not what we're about, right? That's what you want to come back to, right? And at the end of the day, what you want to do is just figure out what you need. Did anybody see Blake Coleman and Barkley Goodrow and Zach Bogosian going to the Tampa Bay Lightning? But that's where you evaluate. I think that's where you evaluate with respect to what do you need. So, you know, for Kyle Dubas, you watch your team, you watch different situations and say, okay, that might be giving us a little bit of a problem. How can we solidify it? How can we strengthen that? But I think you do get to the new year. The bonus this year, and I mean, there's still a little bit of uncertainty about the NHL participating in the Olympics given the pandemic. But, you know, that's another opportunity to kind of take a deep breath. You know, if there's an Olympic break and then come back after that, see where your team is at heading into the trade deadline. I believe it's on March 21st, but it's a little bit longer evaluation that I think gives you a little better opportunity to really zero in on where you can strengthen the team.
With Craig Button joining us here on Overdrive. So this Brady Tkachuk, Brendan Lemieux. So I love that it's Lemieux that's in the middle of it. Of course it's Lemieux. They get into a tilt over the weekend, and the video is inconclusive. You can't see it based on the angle, but Brady reacts immediately when he first allegedly gets bit, and then he, I guess, allegedly got bit again. So Lemieux's on top of it. You can see it up there on TSN4. And Tkachuk went crazy after the game. We have the audio. Why don't we play this audio? Because I don't recall anyone, maybe since Keith Tkachuk, being this open and, you know, transparently disappointed and rattled and furious with the media well after the game had ended. This is what Brady Tkachuk had to say about Brendan Lemieux after the game over the weekend.
It's outrageous. It's like, kids don't even do that anymore. It's babies do that. And the fact that he decides it's, I don't even know what he's thinking. He's just a complete brickhead. He's got nothing up there. Bad guy, bad player. But what a joke he is.
Bad guy, bad player. What a joke he is.
Brickhead has got to be that term's got to come back. I don't know if it's ever
good
heard
one.
It, but
that's the Tkachuk brothers to bring it back, because he sounded like Keith there when I'm listening. That sounds like Keith Tkachuk, which is understandable considering it's his son. And now I give credit to Jonathan Quick, because he jumped out in front of it and said, "No. He's our guy. We love, even if it's true, not sure. Who knows the dynamics of Brendan Lemieux in that room?" Because Tkachuk went on to say he's not a liked player in the room, everywhere he's been. Like, it was, he went off on Lemieux. Now Matthew Tkachuk jumps on and corroborates the Brady Tkachuk report about Lemieux's character. This is a three-ring circus we've got. What do you make of this, Craig?
Well, the Tkachuks are Southies, and if nobody knows what a Southie is, that's South Boston area. And like, you know what? They're going to take on all comers. So when Brady gets bit, it may as well have been Matthew that got bit, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's just the way it works there. You know, listen, you know, I think for Brendan Lemieux, I mean, it's a reprehensible act. I mean, there's no other way to put it. And he bit him twice.
Right.
He didn't bite him once. He bit him twice. You know, okay, like, how do you rationalize once? There's no rationalization for once, let alone twice. you know, what Brady Tkachuk said about him, I think as Brendan Lemieux has to say, okay, you know, that's pretty harsh. That's pretty harsh. And, you know, teammates are going to have the players back and everything. But there is no way the players in Los Angeles are going, like, oh, yeah, that's okay. He's a good guy. They're going, he's a brickhead. They're saying the same things. Like, why would you bite somebody? They're not calling him a dummy or a dope. But they're thinking in their own heads, what? What?
Yeah, it just doesn't. It's one of those things, spitting on a guy, biting a guy. Like, there are certain... written rules, unwritten rules, where it's just unacceptable. Wow. I mean,
I've always kind of liked the kid as a player. I wonder why he kind of bounces around. But they got to do something, and Ray always talks about it. You got to make everybody in the league understand that you are not doing that, and you're going to get a lengthy suspension. It's just they talk about wanting to get rid of non-hockey plays. Well, here's your opportunity to send a message and say, don't even ever think about doing this again, anyone in the league, because it's nonsense.
I agree with you, Jeff.
Yeah, I agree. I just, all I could think of is, like, knowing Walt Keith, like, Keith would want to beat the hell out of Claude. Like, you know, like, this would, I'm not lying.
They fought in the World Cup.
Well, I love that it's Brendan Lemieux's Claude Lemieux's son, in case anyone didn't know that.
Like, that's all I'm thinking about.
In case
about,
you're
like,
not shocked by that, there's your info.
But that's my point. It's like, all I could think about is, like, the dad would drive over to Claude Lemieux's house and kick his ass, too. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how, you know, that's that Southie mentality. But it wouldn't surprise me if Keith sees him at a rink. Like, he'll go and confront him. And
Claude might turtle at the time and then bury him from behind.
All I can think about is, I guarantee you, the next time either Calgary or Ottawa plays L.A., like, that Lemieux kid, better
he's tough
the bell.
Kid, though.
He is tough. I'm not saying that he's
I think
not.
He'll
seen
fight
him
back.
In several good fights.
Yeah, I think he'll fight back.
He will, but that Brady, I think, will chew him apart, and he'd be pissed at, you know, it was a gutless play.
Biting, there's no defense for it. I mean, like, it's, especially when he was on top of Brady. Like, I've heard the defense, if you're on top of me and I can't breathe and I'm going to do something to survive. But this wasn't a survival tactic by Brendan Lemieux.
No.
So he's going to likely pay a price. He's been offered an in-house, I guess, hearing, which allows the NHL to go 5+ games. Speaking of discipline, Brad Marchand suspended 3 games for a slew foot on Ekman Larson, and that's one I totally agree with as well. Yeah. It was a absolutely gutless slew foot. And it's, you know, I don't know where it lines up with biting and spitting and all that, but I know it's reprehensible and guys hate it. And the thing is, if Ekman Larson went off about Marchand, what would the response be? I would guess the Bruins would probably stick up for their guy. But slew foot, if that happens on Bergeron, people are freaking in Boston.
Well,
that was a bad play.
That's not Brad that's not Brad Marchand's first suspension for slew footing either.
Right.
Like and you know, it's fascinating to me. You think about Brad. I mean, we're talking about a top player in the NHL, a real top player. And he had really, there hasn't been incidents per se like this with Brad Marchand for a number of years. But then, you know what ends up happening is that this occurs, and now people start to go, yeah, same old Brad Marchand,
right,
same
exactly.
old Brad Marchand, and you know, now the narrative, and he is a top notch player, but he was away from this, and it's so dangerous because there's
really
no
is.
Way for a player to defend himself, and the risk of severe injury is significant, and that's what makes it like such a poor decision on Brad Marchand's part. And another, it is. It's a gutless play.
Yeah. Craig, do you think Evander Kane ever plays in the NHL again?
Yeah, I think he does, Jeff. What I would say about Evander is that Evander, when you watch him play, I mean, he's a really good hockey player. And, you know, he's gone through some real significant off-ice issues and having to deal with them. And I think that if Evander Kane is ready to acknowledge and prepared to work through those issues and come out on the other side because of his skill, that he would play. If he doesn't, and I don't know that he doesn't have that desire, but if he doesn't, then I would agree with you. But based on his skill, he's a unique player. He's got a lot to offer to a team, and if he wants to get those issues sorted out and get him. I mean, he's a single father of a child. You know, we know what's happened with different allegations from his ex-wife or estranged wife, whatever it is. But, you know, to me, he adds a lot when he's playing the game.
Well, we'll see. He's was on waivers cleared. He's going to go down to the minors with San Jose, and who knows where it ends up, you know, a month from now, 2 months, two, three, 4 years, who knows, with Evander Kane. But I don't think his story has been completed yet. Always great seeing you, Craig, even if we're at home here in studio through the 4K. Looking good, buddy. We'll
just
do it again soon.
Just waving at you, waving at you guys. Hi. See ya.
We'll see you again soon. There's Craig Button, our TSN hockey analyst.